In New York State, we might have about 130 to maybe 140 members in the church. Might be a little bit more than that. Considering that there are other Sabbath-keeping churches in New York around, might have around the same amount of people, let's just say that there was about maybe 1,000 members in the Church of God that are keeping the Sabbath. Now let's make it 2,000. That's probably stretching a little bit. 2,000 Sabbath keepers in the church, in a Church of God. With New York State's population close to 20 million people right now, 9 million of those are right in New York City in the metropolitan area. That means that only 0.01% of New York State's population keeps the Sabbath like us. What is everybody else doing? Why are we keeping the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath relevant for us today? And that's the title of this sermon, is keeping the Sabbath relevant for us today? When God was calling me into the church some 32 years ago, I studied the Bible to see if what the Church of God taught was true. After all, Mr. Armstrong told us to prove it to ourselves, not to take his word alone. As I was learning the truth, I wasn't really changing many of the things that I know that I needed to in order to follow God in the right path. That is until I learned about the Sabbath. I really never paid much attention to the Ten Commandments growing up, or even when I was attending a First Baptist church in my teenage years. I surely could not recite all of them, or especially in order. My first point here is going to be, where did the Sabbath originate? Let's turn to Exodus 20, we're going to look at verse 8. As you well know, this is where God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Eternal, your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's the only command that tells us to remember. Yet it's the most forgotten commandment with all the other Christian churches out there. Some might say that this remember here is because God had taught them a little bit earlier about the Sabbath when he was giving them the manna. However, this practice of the Sabbath goes further back. But under, of course, the slavery that they were in Egypt, the Israelites had lost sight of this. So where did it all begin? Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts in them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he created the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. God created the Sabbath day and he sanctified it. He set it apart as holy. And soon he rescued his chosen nation from Egypt, and he tells them to remember his Sabbath that he created, thus identifying himself to them as the Creator. As their great Creator, God wanted them to rest weekly in remembrance of a higher power and authority in their lives, which was him. It was a physical observance which had a great spiritual meaning. When I discovered the truth about the Sabbath, I went to my employer and I told her I could not work Friday nights anymore. So I was working as a baker for making donuts. So I worked the night shift. I got in at 10 and ended at 6 in the morning. So I was working all night making donuts. That was out in California, by the way. She set up a meeting with her and her husband, who was by profession a psychiatrist. He wanted to really analyze if I was sincere. So I explained to him why I required the Sabbath off. And he listened to me and analyzed my reasoning and came to believe that I was sincere in my conviction. They changed my schedule, so I worked from Sunday night to Thursday night. And this was the very first change that I actually made in my life, with many more to come. Of course, then, 30 years later, I was in the church and was baptized. Or 30 years ago, I should say. But it was the first thing that in my process of was the Sabbath. So the Sabbath has always been kind of a dear thing to me. My second point is, who kept it? And what happened to it? Okay, some say that keeping the Sabbath is Old Testament stuff. And it does not apply to the church today. That it's not relevant for us today. The Israelites were commanded to keep the Sabbath at Mount Sinai. Did they? For a little while. But they turned away from observing the Sabbath, got caught up in the pagan traditions of those nations that they had captured or taken over, and also those that were around them. The nations of Israel and Judah eventually both were taken into captivity for worshiping other gods, idolatry, and for breaking the Sabbath. When the Jews returned to Jerusalem and established themselves, they became very strict about Sabbath keeping. They did not want to go into captivity again, so their religious orders made rules, many rules, regarding Sabbath observance. They had a whole do's and don't list of what they could do, but in doing so, they made it a burden for the people while finding loopholes for themselves. The 39 categories that they had for activities prohibited on the Sabbath can be divided into four different groups. Activities required to bake bread, activities required to make a garment, activities required to make leather, and activities required to build a structure or a building. One that my son describes as very hilarious. I wish I could have him up here to do this, but I'm going to try myself here. But they had a law about the Sabbath that you can only walk a Sabbath day journey, which is supposed to be a distance about 2,000 cubits, or for us, it was less than a half a mile. So the way my son describes it is you walk the 2,000 cubits and then take off your sandal and you throw it as far as you can. And like, oh, there's my sandal over there. I got to go get it. So you go over there, you pick it up, and you throw it again. And you're going until you finally get to your destination. Ask him to do it. He does it a lot more funnier than I do. But another thing that they used to do was on Fridays, they knew where they wanted to go on the Sabbath. So on Fridays, they would place a meal at about 2,000 cubits from their home. And so when they walked there, there was a meal there for them. They would sit down and eat their meal. And because they were eating the meal, they considered it their residence. So then they can go another 2,000 cubits. They had all kinds of different ways to get around the different things that they wanted to do, the Pharisees. However, they made it strict for the other people that they couldn't do that. Jesus confronted them, the Pharisees, about these extra laws that they made for Sabbath observances, as we will see later. They were a burden to the people, and you might ask yourself, well, how can the Sabbath become a burden? Back in the early 90s, there were changes that were occurring in the Church of God. Jesus and the apostles warned that these things would happen, and they did happen in the apostles' lifetime and throughout the history of Christianity. Rose and I were confronted by a dear friend who wanted us to join him in following a man who had broken off from the church to form his own church with new truths. Well, let me tell you, brethren, there are no new truths. Just old lies that are resurfacing again. We held fast to the church. We did not follow with it. But then more changes continued to come. The church decided to no longer keep the holy day festivals. People in the church began to look at everybody with suspicion. Like, who's going to leave next? And also with judgment. Holding up the Ten Commandments that they were doing better, like, you know, they had a little ruler or something, like, I'm better than that person. Kind of like that attitude that the Pharisees had. Things continued to get worse, and then the Sabbath actually became a burden for us. It was no longer joyful. It was more like you had to be there on the Sabbath or else. It seemed like no one could miss services without some kind of a valid explanation. And many times, we were running a little bit late to services, and people would look down on us as we're trying to walk in there and while the song services are going on. It was very difficult. You know, no matter how much time you plan ahead of time to make it on time, something always happens. But why would people be looking down on you like that? So the next thing that happened was the news came that we no longer had to keep the Sabbath. Some were very upset, and they left the church at that time to find a church that did keep one or start one, like UCG. And continued to keep the Sabbath. Many were confused and thought that maybe they would change their minds and they would start keeping the Sabbath again. We were all deceived. Some felt like the great burden was lifted off their shoulders. We fell into that category. It's hard to believe looking back. But that's how we actually felt, that it was lifted off our shoulder. We didn't have to worry about it anymore, even though we were still attending on the Sabbath. But it was interesting. Our church was, you know, said they had a new truth, and they claimed that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Point three, what was this new truth? It really was an old lie other Christian churches had in how to categorize the law. By dividing God's law into three categories, the moral law, the ceremonial law, and the civil law. The Bible doesn't divide them this way at all. Man does. The Bible, or the biblical division, is commandments, statutes, and judgments, as you'll find in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 and 58. That's when Solomon is blessing the assembly before blessing the temple. It mentions the commandments, statutes, and judgments. That's how God divides them. But now this method of reason, the reasoning that the church started to follow, was the moral laws. Those are the ones that you can keep, are the commandments and the laws that have their basis in the character of God, such as thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. Moral laws are generally considered to be based on God's character and therefore enforced today. Now, the laws in the Bible that were not that were ceremonial or civil in nature are not universal moral laws, is how they explained it. Civil laws can vary from nation to nation, even from state to state. On the other hand, ceremonial laws concerning activities that may be okay sometime and not okay another time. Stay with me now. This is interesting. For instance, killing an animal for a burnt offering could be done lawfully only by a Levitical priest. But you can burn a barbecue in your backyard all you want. They explained the ceremonial laws applied only to the Jews, like the sacrifices. Those are the ones that you should not keep because they've been done away with due to the ending of the old covenant. Fourth commandment, the Sabbath. The fourth commandment, this is their reasoning, forbids working on a particular day, Saturday. Now here they have engaged some really creative theology. Since working isn't a sin the rest of the week, work isn't contrary to God's character, like murder or theft is. So they reason that the Sabbath commandment is not a moral law and hence must be ceremonial. They said that Jesus viewed the Sabbath as a ceremonial law or even a lesser law. And they taught that we have our rest in Jesus Christ now. This was the belief that they came up with. Now, here's some of the evidence that they have. And this is what the evidence that they provided. God himself does not keep the Sabbath as a six-day, one-day cycle of work and rest. He did not before creation, and he does not now. The angels don't keep the weekly Sabbath either. In the new heavens and the new earth, when there is no nighttime, no one will have to change their behavior according to the days of the week. Everybody will be in God's eternal rest for all time. Okay, that last part may be correct, as everyone will be a spirit being like God in Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. Although the seventh day Sabbath has the basis of what God did once, the 6-1 cycle does not reflect what God is eternally. They claim the seventh day Sabbath is not a universal or eternal law. Some argue that Jesus kept the Sabbath. You know, that's what we did. We argued, hey, Jesus kept the Sabbath. Their reply was, well, that Jesus did many things that were based on his Jewish heritage, but we don't do them today. Even with all that, me and Rose still stayed with the church for a long time after this, until one day I just didn't feel it was God's church anymore, so we stopped attending. However, we carried some of the bad habits and traditions that they had taught by then. Life went on, and we still received blessings and our share of trials. One such trial got me to thinking about God and how far we had departed from Him. I started on a journey back to God's church, although I did not know at the time where it would lead me. I studied the Bible. I listened to everyone that was preaching about God and Jesus. However, God gave me something, a very important gift, discernment. When I was listening to some of these ministers on the radio or the TV shows, and they began speaking about something contrary to the Bible, I knew that they were not teaching the truth. Things I learned before were starting to come back into clear view once again. I kept in contact with a dear friend of mine in Roses over the years, who continued to follow God and who still serves in the Church of God today. Every time we got together, our conversation always led to the subject of the Sabbath. My next point, point number four, what is the truth? Pilate asked that. What's the truth? When the Army sent me off to St. Louis, I began an intensive study about the Sabbath. I read many things for and against the Sabbath, for keeping the Sabbath. And then I referred to the source of all truth, the Bible. I looked at the scriptures that this friend of mine had talked to me about. Let's go back to Genesis, if you're still there. Probably still in Genesis. Genesis 2. And if we look at this one more time, it says, God accomplished the final act of creation week by resting from his work that had been done. Now Genesis 2:1 tells us that the heavens and earth and all their hosts were completed on the sixth day. Verse 2 reads, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. The New International Bible Version better translates it, by the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So when the seventh day of creation began, God had already ceased from his work of creating. Instead of creating on the seventh day, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart from all other days. The first three verses of Genesis 2 narrate the origin of the seventh-day Sabbath, the weekly day of rest later introduced to the Israelites upon their deliverance from Egypt in the days of Moses. Though the word Sabbath does not actually appear in Genesis 2, directly, it appears indirectly. The word Shabbat, or Sabbath, is a noun form of the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease and desist, to rest from doing a thing. This word Shabbat is translated rested in verses 2 and 3 of Genesis 2. God Shabbat on the seventh day, the Shabbat day. Moreover, the same verb Shabbat is used in God's instructions in Exodus. If you want to jot these down, Exodus 23, verse 12, Exodus 31, 17, and Exodus 34, 21. When he was talking about to rest and to keep the Sabbath day holy in his instructions. Did God need to rest? As mentioned before, we were taught that God only rested on this day and this day only, and his angels don't rest on the Sabbath. So why did God rest? When Jesus asked John the Baptist to baptize him, John said, shouldn't you be baptizing me? Jesus did not have to be baptized for the remission of sins. as he was sinless. He did it as an example for us, to show us what we needed to do. Likewise, God rested on that first Sabbath day as an example for us. Now, the Bible isn't clear whether or not Adam and Eve rested with him, but I believe that God would have told them on the second day of their lives that he was going to be resting. I can just imagine Adam and Eve, hey, where's this God that created us yesterday? I'm sure that he sat down and told them that it's resting, and that they continue to practice that as well. So why doesn't God rest now? Let's look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 2. Now in Mark chapter 2, on one occasion, Jesus' disciples, as they walked through a field on the Sabbath day, they picked a handful of grains so they could have something to eat. The disciples weren't harvesting the field. They were just merely grabbing a quick snack to take care of their hunger needs. However, the Pharisees insisted it was unlawful. Jesus used the example from Scripture to show that the spirit and the intent of the law were not broken, and that God's law allowed for mercy. Mark 2 in verses 23 through 26 goes through that section there where they actually were confronted by the Pharisees for that. It was in this context, however, that Jesus gives us the true purpose of the Sabbath. If you look at verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Notice who the Sabbath was made for. For man. Mankind. All mankind. Not just the Israelites, not just the Jews. God made the Sabbath for us, not for himself to rest, but for us. God doesn't need to rest on the Sabbath. He created it for us. He knew that we needed this rest weekly. I worked 3 weeks straight before with no day off, and I was completely drained by the time that was over with. That was not fun. So I know that we need that rest, and we look forward to that rest that we get each week. Another thing I like to point out is when Jesus quoted from the Scriptures, they were what we call the Old Testament. His apostles also quoted from these same Scriptures. People out there think there was a New Testament already, and they disregard the Scriptures that Jesus held up highly, as well as the apostles, which is always kind of confusing to me. But second of all, Jesus plainly told the Pharisees and the disciples that he was the Old Testament God. You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 8, verses 57 through 58, Jesus said that he was the I Am of Bible history. Thirdly, in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and also verse 14, Jesus created all things, including the Sabbath day. It identifies him as the creator of the Old Testament. He created the Sabbath day and creation week. Therefore, Jesus, as the God of the Old Testament, created the Sabbath day by resting on that day. He sanctified it and told the Israelites with his own voice to observe it at Mount Sinai. Now, back in Mark's account, if you skip down to now verse 28, therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus claimed to have authority of how the Sabbath should be observed. Here Jesus takes his rightful place as the one who gave this law of the Sabbath in the first place. He is the one who created the Sabbath by resting on it. Thus it is foolish to argue that Jesus would abolish or annul something that he had personally created for the benefit of every human being. Point number five, the Sabbath is a sign of God's people. The Sabbath is a sign of God's people. Jesus, as the God of the Old Testament, inspired Ezekiel in chapter 20, if we want to turn there. Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to look at verse 19 and 20. I am the Lord your God, or I am the Eternal your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you. A sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Eternal, your God. The Sabbath is a sign between was a sign between Israel and God. But is it still in effect today? Let's turn back to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, and we're going to start in verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Eternal who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Eternal. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Brethren, it's a perpetual covenant. And again, people will say, well, that was back then. What is a covenant? A covenant is agreement between two parties. It's a contract. So what is the agreement here? Verse 17 shows that it was a sign of who God is. And you worship Him because He is the Creator God. If you keep the Sabbath, you will believe in God. We agree to keep the Sabbath, and God agrees to show us who He is. If we truly want to know God, it is essential that we keep the Sabbath. But it wasn't just a covenant between Israel and God. Many will still argue that we're under the new covenant now. We don't have to keep the Sabbath according to what the Apostle Paul says. First of all, the Apostle Paul, he kept the Sabbath, and he taught on the Sabbath. There's plenty of evidence in the New Testament that occurred. Still, some Christians say that, well, he preached at the synagogues, and that's because that's where his audience were, the Jews. Others say that if the Sabbath was still being observed by the church, and even the Gentile churches, how is it was never addressed in Paul's writings? After all, he addresses issues of circumcision, Christian living, and sins that they were committing in the church, but never about them breaking the Sabbath. Certainly, this would be a big problem in the Church of God. There is much talk about circumcision, but not about the Sabbath, which is the law of God. Now, you know the Judaizers were out there and they were hounding Paul. They were just looking for an excuse to go to the Pharisees and everybody else and blame him of doing something wrong and contrary to the Scriptures. If Paul was teaching that the Sabbath was done away with, that would be much worse than teaching the Gentiles that they did not have to be circumcised. There would have been all kinds of chapters and writings about that. However, it's completely missing. I believe it's missing because they were keeping the Sabbath. It wasn't an issue. They knew that they were to keep the Sabbath, and they did. They had other issues and other problems, but they kept the Sabbath. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? A lot of people wonder. Many believe that it was Paul, and I believe it was Paul. Since many of the statements in this epistle are things that Paul had said before in some of his other letters, and there are many personal comments from him in this book that identifies that he was the author of Hebrews. I want to look at a key verse in Hebrews. Everybody says that we're not supposed to be keeping the Sabbath, that there's nothing in the Bible, in the New Testament at all, that directly tells us to keep the Sabbath. It tells us to keep all these other laws, but it never says to keep the Sabbath. Well, I want to prove everybody wrong right now. We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, the book of Hebrews, Paul was addressing his brethren, the Jews. Those Jews that were converted and the proselytes. He was talking to them, trying to relate to them how Jesus Christ was the Old Testament God and how this transitions into the whole New Testament. And it was a great explanation throughout that, showing that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He used a lot of comparisons. But in chapter 4 of Hebrews, this very interesting statement. Towards the end of chapter 3, they're talking about arrest. And then through chapter 4, there's a few different places, like in verse 1, since there remains an intern of his rest, let us not fear any of you seem to have come short of it. And as you continue down in verse 3, they quoting, you know, I think it was one of the Psalms there, enter in my rest. Now this word here, rest, that's used here is the Greek word katapsis. Katapsis, basically it means a place of rest. When they were identifying in the scriptures here about Joshua's rest, the rest that they were talking about is the rest that they were going to have in the new land once they conquered it. They were going to have a place of rest, finally. And once they did conquer it, they did settle in and they had a place of rest. But David in the Psalms is talking about a future place of rest as well. That there is a place of rest. However, when we get down to verse 9, here's a key phrase right here, a key scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Now, mainstream Christianity who do not accept the Sabbath commandment is still in effect interpret this to mean that Christ has given us a spiritual rest other than the Sabbath day. The Greek word used here for rest is sabbatismos. Sabbatismo. In a Greek English lexicon of the New Testament and other early Christian literature, we read that this means Sabbath rest or Sabbath observance. This word does not appear in many other pieces of literature. This is the only place that this Greek word appears in the New Testament, but it is in other pieces of literature. But everywhere that it does appear, it is well understood that it meant Sabbath observance. Some other translations of the Bible clearly show this. In the 1898 Young's Literal Translation, there doth remain then a sabbatic rest to the people of God. In the 1965 Bible in Basic English, so there is still a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. When Paul used this word, he knew it was well understood to the Greek-speaking Jews and Christians of his day. He had no question that it meant and still means keeping or observing the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is still a sign between God and his people. The Sabbath day is still a sign between God and his people. And they knew about the Sabbath because if you look at Josephus, he wrote many different things, but one of the things that he talked about is everybody in all the other lands knew about the Sabbath. They knew about the Sabbath practice that the Jews did as they all went and migrated around. Many of those ideas were there. So they knew exactly what they were talking about when he mentioned about the Sabbath keeping. Everybody knew what he was talking about. This is very plain. It is very simple. It is completely different from the other words here used as rest. So therefore, there is still a Sabbath day for us. And aren't we glad that there is? And aren't we glad that we are here resting and learning about God and his way on the Sabbath day? So in conclusion, is the Sabbath relevant for us today? I hope you can see that it is. I'd like to turn to one last scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the eternal, honorable, you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speak in your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the eternal, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the eternal has spoken. Since I've been back keeping the Sabbath, it has been a joy for my whole family. We're happy to be here. We look forward to the Sabbath. We don't want to miss a Sabbath day. It is not a burden. It is a joyous time to get together with the brethren, with you all. It's a day of rest. We look forward to it. We can't wait for the Sabbath to come. There's so much out there in the world right now. This is our only rest from all that. It's right here. So, never going to be deceived into not keeping the Sabbath again. The Sabbath was a big foundation for me in the beginning. We lost it, but now we got it back. No one's taking it from me again. Happy Sabbath.